put a hot plate of food in front of my family every night, so what's your excuse? And before you roll your eyes, no, I'm not leaning on frozen dinners, and I'm not subscribed to any of this meal kit nonsense, nor do I have a DoorDash driver who knows my dog's name. I'ma tell you what your problem is. It's that every night you're starting from scratch like it's Groundhog Day. But that's where I draw the line, because the way I do it, I cook once and I remix it. That's right, one base recipe gets 5 wardrobe changes, and suddenly you've got weeknight dinners that look brand new. And honey, these are stunning wardrobe changes if I do say so myself. Imagine being able to start with a roasted squash, apple, and bacon sheet pan dinner. That you turn into a fall harvest casserole with kale and ricotta. That then turns into squash soup with pepita crunch. And the night after, it becomes a veggie pasta with sage brown butter. And the final farewell is a warm harvest bowl salad with goat cheese and pecans. You heard that right. I am not here to play games. Because this video isn't some curated highlight reel. So that's why you're going to get a painfully honest, real-time look at me cooking these meals across a week. And that's where you're going to pick up on the hacks and the juggling of it all and realize for yourself that this works in real life, because that's what I'm living. And so then you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to copy that in my kitchen. But here's the interesting thing. This shortcut starts with seasonal eating, because that's how you know what's fresh and what's going to be on sale without thinking too hard. So for October, it's things like squash, apples, pumpkins. They're cheap and everywhere. You take that and pair them with pantry staples, pasta, eggs, rice, beans. And then you know what? Suddenly dinner isn't too hard. It's just strategy. The problem isn't that you can't cook. The problem is that you're starting from scratch every night. And until you and I have that woman's life, we ain't got time or energy for that. And I can almost promise you that once you start cooking this way, you're never gonna wanna go back. And if you do, honey, that's what we call Sunday dinner. But don't take my word for it. Let me give you a little bit of grandma's wisdom here. Think about this. Our grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers were feeding entire families without large grocery stores or Pinterest or hundreds of cookbooks lining the shelves, of which I am guilty with the cookbooks, okay? They didn't have food blogs pumping out 500 recipes every day. And yet, somehow, dinner still happened. But here we are. Bigger stores, more so-called convenience foods, more kitchen gadgets. And what's the one thing we can't figure out? It's dinner! And I'm talking about smart women! They've raised kids, they've managed careers, but when it comes to dinner, they suddenly feel crippled. And that should tell us something. The truth is, we've been duped a little by the system. Sold the idea that cooking means starting from scratch every night. You know, the feeling that you've got to have some shiny new recipe every time. Except it's not how it works. It's not how it's ever worked. Grandma wasn't wasting food, she wasn't blowing her grocery budget every week, and she certainly wasn't standing over a war zone of dirty dishes every night. Meals built on meals. One dish carried into the next, that was the system. And a little myth buster, they did not have more time to cook than we do now. People love to romanticize that, but it's like, no. They were working, managing households, caring for kids. Truth be told, they probably look at us with all our modern gadgets and say, well, why don't you cook more with all those conveniences? And when you put it like that, it's kind of humbling. So please know that this is not about having a perfect kitchen or perfect kitchen tools or even the latest cookbook. It is only about having a system. Yeah, a way to cook once and let that stretch without waste and without burnout. That's how they did it, and that method still makes sense today. So here's all I need you to do. Take a deep breath, relax. I'm your dinner doula, and let me show you how to cut your grocery bill in half. Using grandma's wisdom. Okay, friends, so this is the part where the groceries are home and you're getting ready to unpack, but, and before you roll your eyes, yes, there is a little bit of pre-work, but trust me, this is the part that's gonna make the rest of the week feel like a breeze. And yes, I absolutely know that I'm a broken record about this, but sequencing your meals is like putting money in the bank. So what we're doing is removing a roadblock now so that you don't encounter it later, and this is gonna set you up by paying you back for the next 5 meals. My secret weapon for years now has been fridge bins, and I am so glad each time one of y'all comments to say, Cass, you were right. And no, I don't use these bins because I'm trying to win some HDTV award or have some Instagrammable fridge. No, these bins stop me from staring with the fridge door wide open at 5:30, muttering to myself, why did I buy all these groceries if I still have nothing to make? Your fridge is not the place that needs to be pretty, but it does need to be functional. And when I open my fridge doors, I don't see snacks and ingredients just floating all over the place. No one needs that kind of stress when they get home, so I don't do that anymore. So instead, I just prep prep bins that are filled with the ingredients ready to be transformed into meals. And all you need are 3 bins that are going to fit the shelves of your fridge. Ideally, you want it to be clear so you can see everything and have a handle. And I only use 3 bins every week, regardless of what I'm cooking or making. So bin 1 is going to hold all the ingredients for our base recipe and our first meal. Bin 2 is going to hold the ingredients for meals 2 and 3. And the ingredients for meals 4 and 5 go in bin 3. So even if you're buying other stuff, pull out the ingredients that you're going to need for dinner and put them in your bins. Because listen, sometimes when I get home from work at the end of the day, I've already been all I could be. And so when I see everything here in a bin, I look at it and I say to myself, Cass, you can do that. And I'll just speak for myself. Cookbook inspiration is for weekends and holidays, but during the work week, it is all about bins and a meal sequence. Okay, so let's start with our rock star, butternut squash, and don't be intimidated by her curvy shape. Now at the grocery store, you do want to choose ones that feel heavy for their size. You also want to make sure that you choose a very firm rind with no soft spots. So right now on October, squash is really cheap because it's in season. And that makes squash this time of year one of the best ways to stretch your grocery budget while still eating nutrient dense. I even picked up some acorn squash too. Squash is an excellent source of beta carotene, and it contains fiber that keeps you full and your digestion happy. Now, if peeling the skin off of your squash isn't your thing, that's okay. Many stores actually will sell it already like diced and the skin removed for a little bit of a markup. But here's what I do. We eat the skin. So because we are going to be roasting these, the skin turns out like it's not tough. It's tender. It's kind of like, you know, the difference in like baked potato skin compared to like the fluffy the innards of like your potato. It's kind of like that. I really like the contrast. And so, yeah, we just essentially remove the seeds, remove the stem, and eat the whole thing. Wait, what am I doing? These do not need to go in a bin. Here I am running my mouth, y'all. So here's the thing. And if you've been here in my kitchen, you already know this. So this time of year is when I will start stocking up on all of my winter squash because they store so well. So I have a little like, it's like a bench, and then like underneath we'll keep like board games or whatever. But this time of year, those board games or whatever I have has to go. And I just keep like a small little stockpile of squash because they last for months. Like I can start buying them now and we'll eat about 2 squash a week, but whatever. Like I'll keep them clear through like January, February. I just love them because of that. And then I'll also like, they just need a cool, dark place. But yeah, so don't be afraid to stock up on your squash, and they do not need to be refrigerated. And I'm just gonna go ahead and leave these right on the counter because we're getting ready to use them. Here's the squash that's gonna go in my bin. So this time of year, even the markup on your butternut squash chunks isn't as outrageous as it normally is, again, because it's in season. For this recipe, you can also use frozen too. Next up, we have apples, and you're gonna wanna choose a sweet variety like Honeycrisp or Gala. And that's because you want a variety that's going to be firm enough to hold up while roasting so it doesn't turn into mush. And apples, I mean, come on. They're basically nature's candy that's also packed with antioxidants. So a little apple in a savory dish adds balance. And then it's also going to just pair with the bacon and add some sweetness that then ends up making the bacon taste more bacony. But if apples aren't your vibe, pears or even cranberries would make a wonderful substitution. So next up, we have red onions, which, yes, are gorgeous in a salad, but roasting them, that's where the magic happens. Now remember, you want firm onions with papery skin and no sprouts poking out. And I'm telling you, when the red onion is roasting alongside the squash and the bacon, it turns into these purple jewels that taste sweet, not tart. So they're kind of like the bridge ingredient that's going to tie the veggies and the meat together so it tastes like one cohesive dish. Next up, you're going to need Brussels sprouts. And listen, before you skip them, these are not the bitter boiled nightmare of the 90s. So listen, when you get your sprouts from the store, you want to choose ones that are small and tight. And the smaller they are means that they're going to be sweeter and less sulfury. And listen, roasting them with bacon makes them crispy on the outside and tender on the inside. I'm telling you, and I'll shake on it, these Brussels sprouts are going to be so craveable, you're going to be fighting for the last one. And if you're still not sold, you can swap in broccoli for ruts, but I'm telling you, give these little guys a chance. So next up, we've got bacon, also known as our flavor insurance. So if you can grab thick cut, go with that because it's going to hold up better in the oven. And also try to grab a preservative-free bacon if you can. And obviously, if you're not a bacon fan, you can go with turkey or beef bacon. And if you're entirely plant-based, you can just toss your veggies with a little bit of smoked paprika and olive oil. But I'm telling you, this bacon is the lead magnet that keeps them coming back for more Brussels sprouts. Now I'm thinking that I'm going to want to add a maple balsamic or maple Dijon glaze. I can't tell right now. So I'm just going to keep my maple syrup out right there. But then here is my Dijon. If I want it, that's there. And then my balsamic glaze is just down here where I keep like, can you see this? Not really, but like all my spices, or sorry, all my oils and stuff are here. And then sometimes what I like to do, especially if I have enough room and I do in this bin, is I will just take little containers that I think I'm going to need. So like when I make my little drizzle glaze, I'll just keep any excess in here. But look, y'all, this is meal bin one. Done. All right, grab meal bin two. Okay, y'all, so kale is the muscle of this sequence. And when you're shopping for kale, you want to make sure that you're looking for bunches that have firm and dark leaves, no yellowing. And curly kale tends to hold up better in bakes and soups than baby kale. Kale is also loaded with iron and vitamin C, which is basically your body's way of saying, thank you for feeding me something green in between all this bacon and cheese. And if kale isn't your thing, you can absolutely use spinach. Just toss it in at the very end so that it doesn't disappear into nothing. What you're looking at is the glue in our casserole, so you're going to need a few eggs and some ricotta. Now, the eggs actually are keeping it all together, and then the ricotta is going to make it creamy without being heavy. Now, remember, fat is your friend, so with your ricotta, go with whole milk because it just bakes richer. But speaking of richer, ricotta cheese is more expensive, so cottage cheese would be your friendly budget swap here. So for the soup, you're going to need some broth, and veggie or chicken both work. And this is just some of my crock pot chicken broth. Now you're also going to need a splash of cream or coconut milk. This is actually half and half. And I just like, I mean, so everything that I am making, I like for it to be like in the bin. That way it's out of like general circulation. And I'm telling you, once you do it, like, everything is just here. And so, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and add this to the bin. So I should actually say this. You don't need cream or milk at all, but I like to stir it in because it gives you that kind of cafe velvety sip. And if you're dairy-free, coconut milk pairs beautifully with squash. And so if you want something that is clean, light, but still savory, just stick with broth. We're also going to need some Parmesan for our casserole, along with some breadcrumbs. So again, I'm just going to pour in the amount that I'll likely need. So I picked up this little, what is it called? A demi baguette, because we're making soup, especially butternut squash soup, and you can't not have bread to dunk it into. And just like that, meals two and three in bin two are done. All right, it's time to grab meal bin three. I'm telling you, I know that this may look, at least on the other side of the camera, like, oh, like a prep step, but with each bin that I make, my anxiety about the week just goes down. And not like serious anxiety, but you know, like this is how I stay in control of like, we're not eating out. My grocery budget stays in check. And so just doing this little bit, and when I'm not talking to you, I normally just have like a little podcast on or something. And it is just, it is so great. Okay, so for bin three, you're going to need a box of pasta. Now you could absolutely use whole wheat because you want something that's going to soak up our thick sauce. But I am using, and I just got this from Aldi, it's chickpea pasta because it's just a way to sneak in a little bit more protein. So this is also gluten-free. You just want to go with any shaped pasta that has ridges. So think rigatoni or penne. You just want something that's going to like cling to the sauce so that it doesn't just slide right off. Nobody wants naked noodles. Next up, you're going to need some butter and sage.
Oh, this smells so good. And this can also be dried sage, but come on now, the combination of sage and butter, that's just autumn in a skillet.
I'm telling you, 60 seconds of butter in a hot pan and then you toss in some sage, it makes it smell like you know what you're doing. But if you are using dried, which is more potent, you just want to use a little less. So I think the best nuts to pair with this are either like walnuts or glazed walnuts or glazed pecans or even hazelnuts. So I do have some candied pecans that I'm going to go ahead and use. And I'm telling you, a sprinkle of nuts at the end is what turns a weeknight pasta into, oh, hey, this could be on a restaurant menu. Here's what you've got to do. You got to toss them in a pan with some butter until they're fragrant because that's what makes the taste pop. Yeah, so like I was saying, I think that walnuts and hazelnuts, like those are always going to be your classics. But if you have almonds or pecans, and like that's what I'm using for this,
go for it. Now, this is going to be totally optional because this is what I'm just like doing for the real meals that I'm making in my house. But I think I'm going to add some pork sausage because how can I not? I have the butternut squash flavors. I have all this fresh sage. I have the pasta. So I'm going to go ahead and sneak that in. And then finally, you need your salad heroes, arugula and goat cheese. So here's why it works. Arugula is peppery. It's fresh and it's going to balance all the roasted richness. Now at the store, you're going to want to look for bright green leaves, not soggy ones. And then our goat cheese is tangy, it's creamy, and it's going to tie the whole salad bowl together. But totally know that feta is a quick swap here if you already have that in your fridge. And you know what? The maple Dijon vinaigrette that I'm going to make for our sheet pan is going to carry over wonderfully for this recipe. All right, baby doll. And there you have it. Bin three is done. Okay, so here's the big picture. You just organized a week's worth of dinners into three tidy bins. Guess who's not staring into the abyss of mismatched ingredients? You. No, ma'am, you've got intentional bundles ready to go. And remember, if you want substitutions for any of these, like how to swap out bacon or what to do if a certain ingredient is sold out, I've got a full substitution list in the Dinner's Done dispatch. So let's roast this squash and get this sequence going. All right, so I don't know about you, I must be showing my age, but I would much rather open up a refrigerator and see this when I come home from work any day of the week. And I just say that because I sometimes am coming across like on YouTube and like, you know, like shorts or whatever that pop up, the strangest fridge organization or meal prep. And I'm like, okay, like it looks pretty. Like this doesn't look like, y'all, come on now. I look, this is not going to get clicks. Okay. You know what I mean? In terms of like virality or whatever. And like, I'm not like worried about that, but sorry, my fridge is telling me like it needs to open up. But I see all that and I'm like, okay, your fridge does look like colorful and you have all these like bins for everything. But like, I cannot tell what you're going to be making for dinner on Monday or Tuesday or whatever else. When I open up my fridge doors, and this just doesn't even have to be like me, you can take this bin out and be like, oh, she's probably thinking of doing something a little bit like this, right? It's already there. And I just love my fridge bins. Okay, friends. So for the base recipe, you're going to want to turn your oven on to 425 degrees. And then do you know what I realized I am going to do? So right now we are just working with meal bin one. So I am going to go ahead and use my fresh butternut squash, but then I'm going to use two of my acorn squash here because the skin of your acorn squash is going to be much more tender and it cooks faster. So these cook times are going to line up a bit more than your butternut squash, which needs to cook longer because this skin is a bit more, it's just tougher initially. Again, I like the taste. There's really good flavor and fiber in it, but I'm going to hold these off. And like I said, these are going to keep 4 months. Now, as you use your cutting board, you just want to make sure that you have a towel underneath of it so your cutting board isn't sliding all over the place. And you can see these are pretty easy to cut. Then you'll just scoop out the seeds. And I am absolutely going to save these because you can just season them right on up and then roast them. And they're a great little snack. All right, let's go ahead and chop these up into our cubes. And I'm just following the natural little grooves here. Okay, we're gonna slide this to the side, and then next you're gonna grab a roasting pan, but I'm using two large cast iron pans. Yeah, so I'm just gonna use my cast iron pans. And we're just going to portion off some of our acorn squash over here and some in the other pan. And we're gonna do the same with our pre-cut butternut squash. I just love cooking with all of these colors. We have like the lighter yellow and then we have this orange. Oh, Now slide these back over. Okay, so next we have our apples and our onions. Now for the apples, we're just going to slice them in the wedges. There's no need to peel. Their skin is going to soften and add fiber. And then the same is also true for the onions too. We're just gonna cut them into wedges. And here's the secret. You actually wanna leave a little bit of the root intact when you cut it because it just keeps the layers from sliding apart and disappearing into the pan. All right, let's do our countertop shuffle. And add in the apples. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? I think I forgot to tell you as I just snuck a little apple wedge that I used the Envy apples. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about a sweet apple? Those are so good. They're probably my favorite variety. My favorite, like, eating variety. Okay, and now we're going to go ahead and add the onions. And yes, I did go ahead and decide to dice them up. Oh yeah, it just gives you different like textures and sizes on your fork.
Okay, so now it's time for the Brussels sprouts. So what we're gonna do with these is just cut off the woody ends, and then we're just going to halve them so that they get more surface area to crisp. And if you see, this is a really good bunch because these are super fresh. If you see any ones that have like yellow leaves or anything like that, just peel those off. Oh, and here's another pro tip. If you want extra crispy edges, just toss them like cut side down on the pan. Oh my goodness, they're gonna brown up beautifully. Okay, so here's what we're doing. You're just gonna remove the end here, but save this for like your stocks and broths. It's going to my scrap bag. And then just split it right down the middle.
Ta-da! Okay, let's go ahead and add our Brussels to the pan. Yeah, this pan's gonna be stuffed by the time we're finished. And here is pan number two.
Okay, friends, so one thing we're gonna do before we top this with bacon is I'm gonna go in here, and this is just some rosemary that I harvested from the garden, but oh my goodness, we're gonna add some rosemary to this. You could also use dried. Then I'm gonna hit this with a generous amount of smoked paprika. Next, just a bit of pepper. And then we're going to drizzle this in olive oil. So enough just to, you know, give things a really nice coat. I am not going to add any salt to this because I'm topping it with bacon, and that's gonna be, you know, that's gonna lend all the salty taste that we need.
Okay, so could you use a spoon to do this? Yes, but you know what? Your hands are a kitchen tool, mine are clean, and you just wanna make sure that you go in here and you wanna toss everything until it is glistening. And you can really see, oh my goodness, this just smells amazing. And you can really see that things are thoroughly combined. Oh my goodness, look at this medley of flavor.
And here's the thing, you wanna make sure that things are coated because that's what helps the vegetables to caramelize. So yeah, that pan's looking good. Let's go ahead and do this one. Wow. And the thing I like about kind of starting with a base recipe is that in some form or fashion, every day this week, I'm already looking at the vegetable density that me and my family are going to consume. I mean, there are other things that we're also adding in, but like, I don't know, like this is the best way I have found out to say, okay, like, how many servings of vegetables am I getting a day? And like, this is just like our dinner sequence for the week, but still, like, this is a great way to really kind of know.
Okay, that looks good.
Okay, friends, so here's my bacon situation. These are the three packs, pack one, two, and three. And I know that I had shared that a thick cut actually is the best. However, this was a nitrate-free preservative brand that I was able to get on a really good sale. And you have two options, like when it comes to preparing your bacon. So the first thing that you could have done is to lay the bacon on the bottom of the pan and then just pile the veggies on top. And y'all have seen me do that before because it gives your squash and your sprout this bacon fat spa treatment as they roast. But you can also chop and scatter them so that you get bacon in every forkful and crispy edges. Using a pair of kitchen shears makes that easy work. So that's what I'm gonna go ahead and do.
Oh my goodness, we just need to freeze frame this. Now remember, I am just using bacon as the meat of my choice. But this could also be, you know, crumbled sausage, turkey or chicken sausage, pork sausage, whatever you want. And then what we're gonna do is slide this into the oven for about 25 to 30 minutes. And maybe a little bit longer, but we'll see. I mean, everything's kind of like in bite-sized chunks. But about halfway through, we're gonna flip things around with the spatula. So like the bacon here is going to, you know, drip down. That's gonna add some additional flavor. These pieces are really going to, you know, brown up really nicely. But then we will go ahead and incorporate everything. And we're just gonna roast until the squash is golden and the sprouts are crispy.
My goodness, I know this looks good. Let's go ahead and pop these in the oven.
Okay, friends, so while we have that in the oven, I just wanna go ahead and do a battle station check because as you're cooking, your kitchen is not gonna be crazy. So the only thing I have, you know, I always like to start off whenever I'm doing anything in the kitchen with a sink full of hot soapy water. So I have my cutting board, I have the scissors that are in here, this couple of spoons, I think a spatula that we used. These are the seeds that I'm going to go ahead and rinse those off and then season them and then throw those in the oven as well. And then here is our meal bin. So this is what I'm going to make, I think, our little, the dressing or the sauce that I might want to toss on top. And then once everything has cooled, I'll transfer the base to these two silicone bags.
Okay, friends, so we are at the halfway point. Are you ready for this?
I know, Thor. Do you see this?
Okay, let's go ahead and grab our second pan.
I mean, look at these apples. Yeah, look at our Brussels sprouts here. This bacon has crisped up wonderfully.
So we just basically want to make sure that everything has its turn in getting in all of this goodness. But our vegetables are nice and tender.
Okay, and let's go ahead and add this back to the oven for maybe just another 5 minutes.
If this is our first time meeting, hi, I'm Cassandra from the blog becomingafarmgirl.com, and I'm here to help you cook with what's on sale and season, and better yet, already on your shelf so that you can get dinner done. And if this way of cooking feels like a breath of fresh air, it's because it is. It really is. And it is exactly what I send out in my Dinner's Done dispatch, where you get two dinner sequences a month. That's a total of 10 different meals, along with a 5-meal breakfast and lunch sequence. Oh yeah, I've got you completely covered. And I go live each month inside of the Dinner's Done dispatch at the dinner table. The format, upcoming sequences, we're all cooking meals together. But if you just want to dip your toes in, I've got a free seasonal grocery guide waiting for you. And that's kind of like having a little cheat sheet in your back pocket. So I actually don't have a lot of time tonight because in about an hour, which means I only have 30 minutes, I've got to drive across town to walk my friend's dog. But dinner's still got to get done. And in that 30 minutes, I can at least knock out 3 meals. And so can you. So go ahead and grab meal bin 2. And you're also going to need the base recipe for meal 1. Basket 1 and basket 2. Okay, so here's my plan for tonight. We're going to make the sheet pan bowls, a casserole, and then some soup.
Okay, wait. So this is actually an inside joke here on the channel. So I just call everything, like, I don't give things fancy names. Whatever I make, I'm like, it's casserole. It's a burger. It's soup. But, like, when I do my meal sequences, you know, I'll make it a fancy name. So for meal 2, we're actually calling that squash bacon and kale casserole. And then for meal 3, it's creamy squash soup with pepita crunch.
Okay, so I need you to go ahead and turn on your oven to 375 and then turn on one of your burners.
Okay, so let me just kind of explain my thinking. What I'm gonna do, because I actually have literacy night tomorrow, so I won't be home until later, is I'm working backwards. So I'm going to make
what I'm saying is meal three in the sequence. But again, you can make them like in any combination or way you want. But I'm going to go ahead and start with the casserole. Then we're going to do the soup. And then we're going to do tonight's meal. And that's just because of like the time that they take to cook. Okay, so for the casserole, you're going to start with a baking dish. And you're just going to give it a quick little grease. I'm going to take just a little bit of my beef tallow here. Just add a light little layer. Perfect. All right, and then you're going to take your base recipe. So here we are. Take your base recipe and you are going to spread this along the bottom. And what we're doing here is we're creating a flavor foundation because every bite you take is going to land on this layer. And I'm telling you, you and your family are going to love it. You're going to have little pops of sweet apple. You're going to have that smoky bacon and then all those caramelized veggies that already did the work back on day one.
So I'm just pressing it down a little bit. All right. Can you see me here? Okay. Yeah. So I'm just pressing it down a little bit to form the base. But y'all, this is why we call it a remix because it's the same ingredients just with a little twist. And now you're going to go ahead and grab your kale and we're going to fold in some of this chopped kale. Now, of course, this is going to wilt as it bakes. So we're just going to tuck this right over top of the veggies here. You just want to go ahead and create a little layer. I mean, if you wanted to, maybe for like kids, you could go ahead and like stir this in just to combine everything. But I like having just this little layer of kale. Make it slightly thicker than what you think, because again, that's just gonna cook down a bit. Now you might notice that I have extra kale here, and not really. I'm just gonna fold this into another recipe. Okay, now you're gonna need to grab a bowl, but actually I like using this large, this is a quart measuring cup, because it just makes things like easy to pour. And we're working from bin two. And so now I just need you to grab your ricotta. I don't know why I'm saying it like that, because that's what I do when I'm home. Your ricotta. And then your eggs.
Okay, perfect. And now you're just going to combine your eggs and the ricotta. And we'll give this a good mix. Okay, so this is the consistency that I'm ending up with. So you definitely want it to be pourable. And then I do recommend just like seasoning this up a bit with a little bit of salt and pepper. I'm using some seasonal. I think it's just here like 2 hearty teaspoons. Because we already have a lot of flavor, of course, going on here. And we have the seasonings there. But the greens are kind of absorbing some of the flavor. And so I just like to make sure I'm adding that back in with this.
And now you're just going to pour this mixture right over the top because this mixture is the glue. And what it's going to do is just seep down into the veggies and the greens. And it's going to wrap everything together in those creamy pockets. Think of it as a hug for the ingredients you already know and love. Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
And look, you just want enough of it to seep to the bottom and also cover the top. So this is perfect.
Okay, so all that's left to do is to add the crunchy crowns. And so this is where we're going to toss this with or top it with some Parmesan cheese. And I'm gonna use all this likely. And then as this bakes, it's going to turn golden and crisp so that when your fork dives in, you get that satisfying crackle. Then it's going to hit that soft, savory middle. Oh my goodness, y'all. This is what makes casserole comfort food. But with this variation, it's a fresher, lighter spin. Yep, that was just enough cheese. I knew it. Okay, now let's go ahead. Now let's go ahead and we're going to toss in our breadcrumbs. And these are just some Italian breadcrumbs. Oh my goodness, y'all. Look at what we put together in like 3 minutes.
3 minutes and we are already this powerful in the kitchen. What?
Okay, then lastly, you just want to drizzle with a little bit of olive oil because you don't want those breadcrumbs to like dry out on you.
Okay, perfect. And now we're just going to go ahead and pop this into the oven.
This is not going to need more than 30 minutes, probably just like 25, because essentially everything is cooked. We're just waiting for the kale to tenderize and for the cheese to melt. So let's go ahead and pop that in. All right.
Another dinner is done.
Don't put that olive oil away. Grab a pan, put it on that burner, and then you're going to drizzle a bit in your pan. Bam. And then grab some garlic and you're going to go ahead and add, y'all know I love my garlic. I love my garlic. So that's like 2 hearty tablespoons. I don't know. Let's just do another one for good measure.
Okay. So we just need the olive oil and the garlic to heat up until it starts smelling good, which gives us enough time to make the maple Dijon drizzle that I want to have for tonight's dinner. And basically, this is going to whip up so fast. You just need some maple syrup, Dijon, a little bit of your olive oil, and then a vinegar. You want to go with apple cider vinegar. It just tastes the best. And I just remember these little ratios that I'm using. It's like a 3-2-1. So like 3 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 of Dijon, 1 of the apple cider. And then it's like a little salt and pepper to taste. So let's go ahead. Oh, this is a new jar. Okay. Let's go ahead and whip that up. So I'm just using this container. Okay. Yep. There we go. So I have my maple syrup there. And then, you know what? I'm going to do a little bit more because this is what I'm going to make like for the rest of the week. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. And then our Dijon. So we're just going to go ahead and plop that in here next. I love this combination. It is so good, especially this time of year. All right, then you're going to add in your apple cider vinegar, but you know what? You could do balsamic if you wanted something that was just going to impart deeper flavor, but this keeps it, I don't know, I like that kind of like pungent, is it, or more like tangy contrast? Then go in and hit it with a little bit of smoked paprika, some salt to draw out the flavors, and then finally a dash of pepper.
And then you're just going to give this a good stir. And then no, this is not, this is actually a, I don't know what I was getting ready to call this, but these are reusable stirrers that we use for our coffee in the morning, you know, instead of always like using spoons. I like these things. So I got a little set of them. We just rinse them off and reuse them with their coffee in the morning. Okay. And they're great for little things like this. I know it's not the technical tool, but you know, like I say, you don't need every single gadget, y'all. You know? Okay. Ooh, look at this. This dressing is coming together so nicely. Let me go in turbo mode.
All right, y'all. So you can tell and I can smell that the garlic is nearly ready and so is our dressing. But you know what I realized I want in here? It tastes perfect, but anytime I have things like squash or sweet potatoes, well, not anytime, sometimes, because this stuff ain't cheap, but it's delicious. I like to add in tahini. Yes. I did not start eating this stuff until like I was an adult. I mean, I just, like, we didn't eat this growing up. And then the first time I had it, which I can't really remember, I was like, oh, yeah. So I'm just going to go ahead and add a spoonful of tahini in here. And then it's going to be perfect. All right. Yeah. Okay, let's get over here back to the pot.
Okay, friends, grab your base recipe. And now what we're going to do is just scoop in a few cups of our roasted squash and apples. Yep. Let them put that in there. And see how easy this is? We aren't chopping. We're not peeling. We're just layering flavor from the work we already did. Okay, so now you're going to grab your broth. And remember, this could be chicken or vegetable. This is a chicken broth that I'm using.
And the amount of broth you need is going to be just enough to cover the veggies. Just enough to cover. So I have more than enough here. And we're going to let this simmer for about 10 minutes because this is where all those roasted flavors are just going to like loosen up and they're going to marry with the broth and they're going to turn into something that is warm and comforting.
Okay, friends. So this brings us to our dinner tonight. And so we are actually going to enjoy. So this is the meal sequence one. You can layer this over some rice or kamut, something like that. But I just think it's already like, these are enough anchoring starches already. And there's excellent flavor that's in here. I mean, look at this harvest bowl, y'all. And then the dressing that we just made. Oh, hold on. I gotta warm this up. Hold on. All right. And we're back. So this is nice and hot. Then we're gonna go ahead and just drizzle over our glaze here. Oh my gosh! Yes! I feel like this dish could be on Cook's Country. Okay, so let's go ahead and do our taste test. First, my kitchen just smells amazing. Like, these are the aromatics and the type of food that now that we're in October, you just want to come home to. So let's go ahead and just combine all of this flavor. That's what this is. This is nutritional density and flavor. Oh my goodness. All right. I mean, each spoonful, you don't even have to like poke around because each spoonful is going to have what you want. All right. Let's go. Mmm. I mean, yeah, the sweetness from the butternut squash and then the acorn, which isn't like, it's not sugary sweet. It's that nature's, that natural sweetness that's in there that's so good. This dish is so, it's creamy, right? It's easy just to like chew and enjoy. Of course, you're getting like the smoky undertones from the bacon. The Brussels sprouts are amazing. They taste so good. They are so tender. Mmm. Yeah. Again, the skins are in here, but you can't tell. You're not going to tell if that the skins are left on. Yeah, this is just, I mean, it's so much flavor that's in here. This is so good. Mmm. Okay, y'all. So our soup has done its thing. So I'm going to cut the heat and then I'm just going to slide it off of that burner and we're going to let that cool a bit. And that gives us just enough time to take out our casserole. Ooh, look at that. I mean, come on now. Did I describe it right or did I describe it right, y'all? This casserole is delicious.
Okay, y'all, so I'm kind of breaking some of the food rules here because I do need to let this cool, but also I'm trying to watch the clock and I need to get ready to get out of the house. And so what we're going to do now is your family's going to love this casserole, y'all. Oh my goodness, because it's just, it's so good. It's cheesy. It's creamy. It's nutritious. You know, it didn't, it came together in literally like 3 minutes. Hold on, where's my pot holder? Okay, so I'm just gonna take the smallest little sampling here. Hold on. Hold on. Let me do it right for you. Turn it around this way. All right. Are you ready for this, y'all? I mean, this looks like we were eating at a restaurant tonight. Come on, y'all. Come on. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm telling you, your palate is going to register this meal completely different than this one. Even though we're working with some of the same ingredients because there are enough
subtle differences to make it register as something that's new. So for example, we're playing this more up on the crunchy crust. We're adding that cheese element. We have the fluffiness from the ricotta. Then we added the kale texture there to kind of anchor it a bit more. But we still have those ingredients for the very bottom layer that are just so satisfying. And so, again, I really should have let this cool. I'm sorry, y'all. But I want to go ahead and have you guys, like, I'm going to taste it and describe it to you because it's so good. Okay. All right, let me get a little bit more of this ricotta crunchy crust in there. Yeah. It's all of the casserole vibes that you like want. So good. So good. I love that, like, so those are just regular breadcrumbs, but if you wanted it to be even crunchier, you could use like the panko breadcrumbs. I love the addition of the kale that's here, whatever grains you have on hand. So this is definitely garden ready. Okay, friends, so let's go ahead and get back to the soup because we are just going to take an immersion blender and blend everything until it's smooth. Okay, friends, and just like that, we have velvety smooth and creamy soup. Now, this is the part where I was mentioning that totally optional, but if you want to, you can just throw in a splash of coconut milk or some cream. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. And this is what takes it from pureed veggies to cozy cafe soup. Oh my goodness. I mean, you watched as that texture went from chunky to now luscious. And this is honestly the moment where you're tempted to like sneak a taste from the pot. Okay, since I really truly have to go, I will insert some footage of when we finally go to eat this meal, which will probably be on Thursday night. But to garnish, you're just gonna wanna top it off with a little bit of ground nutmeg and some smoked paprika. And you can even add a crumble of extra bacon for salt and flavor. And or toasted pepitas, which are just pumpkin seeds. Oh my goodness, yeah. All three. And that combination of toppings, so these seasonings, the bacon, and then the pepitas, makes it go from something that you would find at a restaurant, not last night's leftovers. And here's the best part. This soup heats up like a dream, and it also gets better the next day because then all the flavors have really just had a chance to mingle even more. So actually, truth be told, I'm skimming off some of this for my lunch tomorrow. All right, so I really gotta go, and I will probably not see you until Thursday because truth be told, I've already done enough cooking for the week. Don't you think? Oh my goodness, I just saw that. You had a light bulb moment. So if you're now thinking, yes, this is exactly how I want to cook, but you know what, Cass? I need this on easy mode. Well, I've got you. It's available inside the Dinner's Done Dispatch, where you're going to get step-by-step plans, the grocery list, substitution list, all of it laid out so that you don't even have to think. That's where you find the monthly sequences ready to go. All right, so it's been a couple of days and I'm back in the kitchen, and today at work was, it was a day. I mean, it wasn't like nothing like bad happened. It was just like all of these different like things were happening and like my schedule was just completely thrown off and we were trying to put out just small little fires. So like that's the kind of day I had. And then already after work, I knew today that I needed to stop by the post office for something. It's 5 o'clock now, so it's not late, but this also would not be a day that I would want to come home and like need to cook dinner and not have a plan. I am having a very real moment when I have told y'all before, let me put you on the roaster here, when I've told you before that like, I just want to like grab a bin some days because I'm not like, I'm not fresh, you know, like I am winding down after dinner and it's so nice. It's going to be so nice right now just to be able to grab my bin. The work is already done. I see the meal and I can just, you know, if I wasn't talking to you, this thing must have tightened in the wash. But if I wasn't talking to you, I would just have like, I would be listening to something encouraging, you know, maybe just like unwinding by talking with my mom or, you know, and that's what makes
having your meals prepped during the week in terms of organization, right? And this meal sequence, something that really comes through for you. I mean, so think about it. I wouldn't have a reason not to cook tonight. And when I was out and about, like if I didn't have this plan in place, then it could have been tempting for me to say, oh, you know, I'll just like pick something up. But I just don't even have those thoughts anymore because I know like, oh, like I have bins already at home. So with that being said, let's go ahead and grab meal bin 3.
And then you're also gonna need your base meal too.
I'm telling y'all, I am so thankful that the current me often thinks and plans for the future version of me. And not in some type of like idyllic way. It's very, like very realistic. I mean, I used to fall into that trap of thinking like, oh my goodness, I'll be able to do like X, Y, and Z and like not plan for energy dips or long days at work or, you know, spontaneity that happens in life. And so, I mean, really, we should be doing that in all phases of life, like really thinking about the future of you in terms of like your health and, you know, finances and how you're planning your week and commitments that you're saying yes to, all that stuff. It's a broader picture thing. But anyways, okay, we're not trying to do all that. So let's get back to dinner.
Okay, so this bin feels so indulgent. So we're going to be making a roasted veggie pasta with nutty sage and brown butter sauce. And then we're also going to make a harvest bowl that really feels like a cozy reset. And remember, we're still pulling all of that from the base that we made day one. And I'm telling you, that is the beauty of meal sequencing. Cook once and then remix it all week. Okay, so as is my norm, I'm going to go ahead and make two meals because they're going to be just that quick. And so you want to cut on the oven and a burner. Then you're going to grab a pan.
Now, obviously, this one's for the pasta. So you're going to start by bringing your water to a boil.
I'm going to show you Thor.
This is what he normally does.
Isn't my little booba bear? Oops, oops, oops. Oh, darn it.
No, Thor. I wasn't trying to give you anything. I just wanted you to say hi.
Oh, well, I tried. Okay, so you're going to need to grab another pan so we can brown your butter. And you're going to turn that on low, low to simmering.
And then you're just going to brown a few tablespoons of butter. I'm just going to go ahead and do the whole stick, which is 8 tablespoons. And then what you're trying to do is just let it go past melted into like golden brown where it smells nutty and almost like caramel-like.
Y'all, I just reached in my bin to like get the pasta and then I see this, which I completely forgot about, which, oh my goodness, this sausage is going to be so good in these next two meals. And so again, here's what I mean when I'm talking about like when you have like earlier in the week on Sunday when you saw me prepping, that was me relaxed off of a good night's sleep. And so I would not have remembered this, like to do this right now, but I am so glad. So if you are also going to add sausage to this, like I am, let's go ahead and get that burner going.
Okay, so over here on this burner, our water is about to come to a boil. I'm seeing my little bubbles there. So I'm going to go ahead and just salt the water. 12 grams of protein, y'all. With this chickpea, it's chickpea flour. So total carbs, 33 grams, dietary fiber, 8 grams, total sugars, 2, no added sugar. It is, again, just 100% chickpea flour. So again, Aldi, let's go ahead and add in our pasta. All right, the butter is bubbling, and now we're just going to let it brown a bit more. Okay, this is literally like 10 seconds later. So you really want to, I would say this, do not swirl the pan, okay? You want to watch for those brown specks. Now you can see them, because this is where simple butter transforms into a sauce with, well, some personality.
Okay, next you want to grab a plate and then just line it with a paper towel, or if you don't really use those, I'm just using cloth handkerchiefs because that's what I actually use.
Yes, this is perfect.
Okay, so now we're going to fry those sage leaves, and this does not take long at all. If I didn't have that sausage back there in the back crackling, you could probably hear it start to crackle because it's not going to take long for this to cook. It's not going to take long at all. Again, these are just the leaves, not the stems.
Okay, I'm just going to push those down in the butter. Then I'm actually going to go ahead and cut the heat
You can hear it. I think you can hear it. Yep, that's it, Thor.
Okay, so while the sage is doing its thing, go ahead, get your colander so you can drain your pasta.
Those are just our dishes from this morning.
Okay, the sage is done. So just use a slotted spoon to remove it from the heat.
All right, friends, so now you're going to go ahead and you're going to bring in a few scoops of your mix. And we're just going to heat this up.
Okay, friends, so now we're going to scoop the sausage that we made into our mix here. Oh my goodness, we have so much flavor going on here. That sage just elevated even more because this was delicious anyways. But it's going to be such a nice upgrade and twist. Wow. Okay, so we've added our sausage.
Okay, friends, so here's actually the benefit of cooking more than one meal at once, as I do, because I get so many unique flavor combinations because I'm doing a spin-off of something. So I'm going to take, for those of y'all who enjoy pork sausage, so I'm going to take this pan. We're not rinsing this out or anything. Honey, this is flavor. Flavor. It is already warm. And now we're just going to crisp. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take some already chopped walnuts here because this is going to be for the harvest bowl that we're making. And I'm just going to let those get nice and warm. Oh, my goodness, this is going to be good.
Okay, a little pan switcheroo here.
Okay, so now we're going to toss our pasta into the skillet. All right, our walnuts have been bronzed in butter, and you already know these are delicious. All right, friends, grab a bowl because now all we have to do is toss and finish. I mean, I know this looks good now, but wait, it's gonna get even better. You know what I was just thinking? Because this is happening in real time for me. So because, like I said, my schedule was thrown off today at work, and I had a couple of other things going on, I just didn't have that time to decompress as I normally do. But what I can tell you is this, is realistically, here in real time, I'm feeling good. You know why? Because actually putting this together, just having a conversation with you has, I'm looking for my cheese now because we want to go ahead and toss some of that in. So again, I am using this crumbled goat cheese, but you can also use Parmesan would be really good in this too. This is going to be fine too. Whatever you have will be fine. But because cooking this meal was not another stressor, I enjoyed it. I'm feeling much better. And all I needed was a couple of minutes to shake things off. But I really was coming through the door. Today. But this has just been so nice. I feel right now, this is a win for me. I was not able to control the last 3.5 hours of my life because the day started. Oh, let me pivot you here so you can see what's going on. Because the day started off I had to cancel my little reading groups, and then my students were like, are you coming to get us? And I had to tell them no. And so I don't like doing that. Then I had to do just our district sometimes rolls out policies at the last minute, and then they want you to jump through hoops for stuff. Anyways, I digress. Okay, so let's get back to this meal. You know what? I probably have enough walnuts for this meal because this is going to be so delicious. It's just going to add more of that crunch, and I want that in here. So, we're going to add some toasted walnuts there. And then this is a high protein meal. And then our sage leaves, which are just adding they're adding the most amazing crunch. Hold on. Let me bring you in close. Y'all, they do this at restaurants all the time, but you know what? You can grow sage and you can create your own restaurant meals right at home. So here's what I'm going to tell you about this meal. Every forkful is going to be buttery, herby, and perfectly autumn. Look at this. Look at that fancy little pasta. Look at this. I still get so tickled, y'all, because I'm a home cook. I'm not credentialed
Not that you need to be, right? Like, you don't need to be. But, like, I am making meals like this. And I am, yes, I cook with, like, I have a lot of muscle memory, right? I've been doing this for years. I have the methods that my grandmothers used and my dad and my mom and just people that I've met along the way and in cookbooks that I've read. But this is still, like, awesome to put together. So, all right, let's go ahead and taste this. The sage is so good. It's definitely mellowed out, but you still know it's there. Sage is already savory, but it plays so nicely. And it adds this, like, can you hear this? It's like a crisp to it. That is so good. I love the extra crunch of the nuts with the addition of the sausage. Not that you need it. I've added enough just to, like, switch it up. And then my goat cheese, y'all. It's just melting in so nicely. It's giving it that, like, little bit of creaminess to this dish. Oh! I forgot to tell you that if your pasta starts to dry out on you, you can just splash some of that onto this. But, oh my goodness, this is so good. All right, I'm gonna put this down so that we can eat. But we've got to get to the next dish. Okay, so here's how this is going to work in my kitchen. So this is what we have left out of everything we made for the week, which is going to be the perfect portion for our last meal. So I'm going to heat this and then make our plates for tonight, because this meal right here is what we're going to be eating tomorrow. But I'm going to put it back in this bag. Honey, look. You know, I'm calculating, like, okay, I can reuse this, do this, so that I'm not left with a sink full of dishes. And this is microwave safe. So this is a silicone, food grade silicone bag. Okay, so these are going to be the two bowls. Let's get you back for our salad. And remember, this is a salad, but it's just going to be warm on the bottom. And so I'm taking, can you see me here? Yeah. I'm just taking the warm veggies here. I mean, you don't want to heat them until they're, like, piping hot, but just warm. And we're going to layer that on the bottom. Okay, so now that this bag is empty, I'm going to do exactly what I shared, which is to go ahead and put the pasta for tomorrow night in here. So now go ahead and grab your greens. And remember, I am using arugula, but you might be using spinach. The arugula is really going to add a nice, like, peppery bite to things. I mean, these look really good for being in the fridge. I'm growing some arugula, but it's not ready just yet out in the garden. All right, so here's our salad, and now we're going to go ahead and just layer in the extras that make it feel special. And we're going to go ahead and add some goat cheese here. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and add our candy pecans. Y'all, I was still so out of it earlier that I completely forgot. So I had toasted these walnuts here thinking that, like, oh, I'm going to need some nuts, you know, for this. But again, I am already planned for myself. I love that. Wow, this salad is going to be such a treat. Especially with these candied pecans. Like, I do not use these all the time. You know what? I think that this needs a few dried cranberries. So go ahead and sprinkle in a couple of those if you have them on hand. And these little touches are going to make your salad feel like the main event, not an afterthought. I mean, look at this salad already. What? This is a weeknight. Okay, so here again, my Sunday version of myself is coming to the rescue, because all this salad needs is a dressing. And you know what? I don't have to use something from a bottle that has, you know, all of these, like, questionable oils and other ingredients. I already have, hold on, where is it? Did I take it out? Because that's my empty one.
Oh, right here. So I already have this delicious dressing that is made. And this was the maple Dijon dressing, which I cannot wait to pour over this salad. Okay, are we ready? Oh my goodness. There we go. There we go. And for my husband. Yes. Yes. And dinner is done. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a taste test. Oh, the salad is going to be amazing. The apples are still coming through. Y'all, when I tell you that every day with this salad or with this base recipe, it does not disappoint. Okay, so this is what a forkful is going to look like for you.
So let's go ahead and take our bite. The candied pecans are just, yeah, they definitely are adding a sweetness to this paired with the cranberries. So good. And then the arugula, I love that. It is adding just enough of that like peppery flair this time of year that like you want. Oh, it's so good. It complements this so, so good. It's not spicy. It's just, it's peppery, you know? I love that. And then because you still have this over your bed of like the hearty squash and the apples. Yeah, this is really good. But again, what's shining through now, like the flavor twist, definitely the candy pecans. Treat yourself to them. Go ahead and do that. And then, oh my goodness. Yeah, the arugula. Wonderful with this and the cranberries. And of course, our dressing brings this all together. Oh yeah, this is so good.
Now friends, what we have here is a warm, cozy harvest bowl salad that is super cozy, but also light and fresh enough to end the week on. I mean, does this not look like something that you would order out of a cafe? That yes, would be hearkening a price of at least $15 or more, but instead, it came out of bin 3 of my fridge. And that's it, friends. 5 meals, 1 base, and a whole lot of proof that dinner doesn't have to be complicated to be delicious. And look what you just did. Your family's fed. Your wallet isn't crying. Your kitchen is not a disaster zone. You know that's a win. So if you like this lineup, I've got plenty more where that came from. This was October's sequence, but now you've got to run and catch up on September's. Because it's still fall, so it's still in season, still saving you money at the checkout line. Just be careful that you don't fall down the rabbit hole of my other sequences with more tasty shortcuts. Because once you start cooking this way, you're going to wonder why you ever stressed out about dinner in the first place. I'll see you in my kitchen or garden soon. Take care, friends.